Hey, we welcome you to worship with us at Shades today. Today is Mother's Day, and so we'd like to give a shout out and a happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers that are there. And we hope that you're having a good celebration, even though you are in your social isolation. Question I'd like for you to think about today is, where do people get their inspiration from? You know, where do people get their inspiration from? J.K. Rowling was sitting on a train between Manchester and London, and there was a four-hour delay. And while she was sitting on that train, she got this picture of a boy wizard in her mind. She decided that she'd run with that, and the result of it was she wrote 7 Harry Potter books. J.R.R. Tolkien was boringly, methodically grading exam papers. And as he was grading them, for some reason, he turned the sheet over on one of them, and he just wrote this note, and he said, "In a hole in the ground lived a hobbit." And from that one sentence, he decided that he would expand on that. And from it, he wrote the book The Hobbit, and he wrote the trilogy of The Lord of the Rings, and many other things. For some, they receive their inspiration through isolation. Now, probably most of you are not familiar with this, but April 16th of this year, there was a must-see event from a Swiss runner by the name of Matthias Kyberts. And he was attempting to set the world record for the fastest 50K run on a treadmill. Now, this event, which was very captivating, was to show him run on a treadmill to try to beat a record and to get less than 2 hours and 57 minutes. And sure enough, he made it 2 hours, 56 minutes, and 35 seconds, smashing the world record by 50 seconds. It was quite an event. Yeah, I did watch part of it. I gotta be honest. Now, it was after the event. There was a video, and it was about 3 hours long. I didn't sit through the whole thing, but I did watch, and I watched near the end to when he breaks the record, and he wasn't a whole lot of celebrating because of social distance. There was just, he was up there and his wife. But when it was over, it was so inspirational to see how he broke this record, did over 31 miles on a treadmill. And they said, "Well, what are you going to do to celebrate?" He said, "Well, I'm going to walk to my apartment. And since I'm in social isolation, I'm going to grab a lot of chocolate and I'm going to lay on the sofa." I was inspired. And so I left my computer screen, went in the kitchen, got double stuffed Oreos, went out and laid out on the sofa, just like Matthias. Ah, it was an inspiration. So where do you get inspiration? Sometimes we do get inspiration from isolation. And when you take a look in the Bible and you look at the Bible in its entirety, the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, was written by the Apostle John, who had been exiled to Patmos and had been sequestered. And in the midst of that isolation, he wrote the book of Revelation. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was placed in a Nazi jail during World War II. And while he was there, he wrote an influential book. And his influential book was Letters and Papers from Prison. And then on April 16th of 1963, Martin Luther King, who had been placed in a Birmingham jail because he was a part of a nonviolent demonstration against segregation. And when he was placed in this jail in Birmingham, Alabama, he took a copy of the newspaper, the Birmingham News, and he saw that there was published an article written by 8 white clergymen, and it was entitled A Call for Unity. And they were asking Dr. King and others to back down on their protests and let's wait till the next election and then that administration could make some changes. But for Dr. King, he sat down in that jail and longhand wrote a letter that we know today is called A Letter from a Birmingham Jail. And in that letter, he said that justice too long delayed is justice denied. And it is said that this is one of the most important documents written during the civil rights era. It was because of isolation that there was this inspiration. And we have been looking at the Apostle Paul, and he is in isolation. He finds himself in a Roman prison, and that Roman prison is really a house arrest. And in this house arrest, he has been chained to a Roman guard, and he can only have a few visitors that can come and go with him. And this will be his life for 2 years, 2 years of social isolation, never being able to get out of the house. But for him, He thrived in it. And we have been looking at different ways that he's done it. And one of the ways was inspiration. He was inspired to be able to write four books of the New Testament right there in that isolation. And in those 2 years of isolation, he wrote letters to different churches. He wrote a letter to the church at Ephesus, Philippi, and Colossae. And he also wrote a personal letter to a personal friend. And that's the one that we'll look at today. And that's the book of Philemon. Now, Philemon, maybe a little difficult for you to find. It's in the New Testament. It's between Titus and Hebrews. Now, for some of you, that doesn't help a lot, but that's where it is. If you can find Titus or find Hebrews, it's stuck right in the middle up. It's just one chapter and it's 25 verses and is a fascinating story and an amazing letter that he has written. Now, for us in this series, if you've been keeping up, I have said that there were five books that he had written, and there were four in this imprisonment, and then there was one other book that he wrote when he was imprisoned a second time in Rome. In fact, it was his final letter that he wrote. And we're not going to cover that. We're just going to focus on what we call the Pauline prison epistles. And this will be the last one that we will take a look at. And so when you look at the life of this letter, you look at Philemon, you understand that this was a man who was a wealthy man in the city of Colossae. Paul met him there and he led him to Christ. And after he led him to Christ, then they began to build this church in Colossae. And in fact, it met in his home. And so the church is meeting in his home. Philemon, he's a strong believer. But the letter is not so much about Philemon. It's about a man by the name of Onesimus. Now, Onesimus was a slave of Philemon and he escaped. And as you read through this letter, you pick up on it that he may have stolen some things when he escaped. And he made his way all the way to Rome. And while he was in Rome, he crossed paths with Paul. And as he got contact with him, Paul began to talk to him. Paul led him to Christ. And so he became a Christian brother of Paul. And he worked with Paul. And he was one that could come by and visit with him while he was in these times of isolation. But yet they understood that he really needed to go back to Philemon. To be able to live his life honorably, he needed to patch up that relationship. They need to deal with that because he was a runaway slave. And so what Paul did was he wrote this letter. He gave it to Onesimus and he said, go back to Philemon and hand this letter to him. The goal is that there would be reconciliation between these two. And so the letter is a fascinating description of what steps that need to be taken. So if you have your Bible and you've got it open to the book of Philemon, just look at some of the verses that we have. He starts out introducing this letter of saying that introduced himself as a fellow brother of Philemon. And then he talks about how thankful he is for Philemon. He says, man, you know, I've heard about the love that you have for people, the sincerity of your faith. And then my favorite verse is found in verse 7. And in verse 7, he says, for I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Man, I have been comforted because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. And that word refreshed, it's a word that means to make cool. It is a word, it means to relieve pain. It means to lift spirits. And there's just a refreshment. I remember the first time I read this, my mind went quickly back to when I was growing up. And one of the commercials on television was the Nest Tea commercial. And if you've got any age on you, you'll probably remember the commercial. But the whole deal was the Nest Tea plunge. And they would show a man or a woman out working in the yard, and they're hot and they're sweaty, and they're looking for something to drink, and someone gives them a glass of Nest Tea. And when they took that sip of Nest Tea, all of a sudden they fell back and they took this plunge, and luckily there was a pool behind them, and they fell right into that pool. And any person could relate to that. Everybody has been so hot that all they wanted to do was just jump into a pool of water, jump into a lake, jump into an ocean, just get in some water and be refreshed. And he says, this is what he does. This is what Philemon does. He is a refresher of hearts. And so when we go on our journey, every one of us goes through tough times. And as we go through those difficult times, it is nice to have somebody to come alongside of us and encourage us and refresh our hearts. Like I heard one man said, it's always better to get a pat on the back than a kick in the pants. And it's nice to be able to have people that can refresh your hearts. And this is what he does. And so it's interesting that we are filming today in my wife's studio. And I didn't say that at the very beginning. You're probably wondering, where are y'all sitting? Well, my wife Janice is an artist. And so we are recording this service right here in her art studio. And if I could just say a word about her, this is a place where she is able to create some wonderful memories. It's a place where she can create some pieces of art that can refresh the hearts of others. And I asked her, I said, you know, where do you get your inspiration from? And a lot of her inspiration comes from things that she enjoys or things that she loves. We love the beach. So you'll see she'll do some paintings of whether it be the beach or a sunset or children playing on a beach or someone even sitting on the beach and just reading a book, and or any experiences that we've had. She wants to capture those things because those are special memories and those are things that you love. Out of all the paintings she's done, there's a real favorite of mine that she's done. And it was one that she did, talking about, old men or men with gray hair. And this was her kind of her first study of this painting. And then she refined it later on. And, it was when we were in Italy. And years ago, we were in Italy where we had an opportunity to go to a small town, and it's very picturesque. A lot of things that she was taking pictures of, but she was intrigued by this one elderly gentleman, and she kept trying to take a picture of him, and he wouldn't let her take a picture of his face. So every time she'd get ready to take a picture, he'd turn. So he just walked away. So she said, okay, I'm just going to take a picture of you walking away. And when she got back and saw that picture, she was so intrigued by it. And she began to study it, and it began to just bring things out in her to where she wrote just a small couple of paragraphs. It was almost like a tribute to old men, and it was a tribute to the men who have lived life and have lived it well and have served their families and have gone through the tough times and endured the pain, but yet have stayed strong throughout life. And so she took this and she did another painting of it. And she placed this painting in an art show. And I happened to be there when some ladies came by, were looking at it, and they wanted to purchase it. And just to get into conversation with the lady that wanted to purchase it, the very first thing she did, she said, oh my goodness, that's my father. That looks just like my father. And it says, with the cane, you can see the way that he walked and see the way that his posture was. And she said, well, I've just got to have that. And then her comment is as I purchase this painting and I place it in my house, every time I look at it, it will refresh my heart in essence because it brings out good memories of my father. You see, that's a refreshing of hearts. And that is what Philemon does. If I can just throw this in as an extra, every one of us should be able to do that. Every one of us should say, I want to focus on trying to refresh the hearts of others, either through talents that we have or just through words that we would say. Well, as he talks to Philemon and or is talking to him even in this letter, he then comes up in verse 8 and he says, accordingly, though I'm bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake, I am making this appeal. He's saying to Philemon, I know that I'm the Apostle Paul and I got some authority. I'm not going to play that authority card. I am getting ready to make a request of you that I'm appealing to just love, that because of your love, you would do this. But then I just love the way he writes because he's just a real person because he's, I'm not going to throw a lot of authority on you. But then he says this, now I am an old man and I am a prisoner in chains. Just throwing that out to you. Well, I remember reading this and trying to research what he meant by an old man, and all the commentary said, you know, it's not like he's got one leg in the grave. And then I read about Hippocrates, and Hippocrates says that life was divided into seven different stages, and that the Greek word for old here was stage number 6. And stage number 6 is ages 50 to 56. Well, that's good if you're a student of scripture. But when you're a guy like me who's 66 years old, that means I'm in stage 7. I'm at the end over there. But we digress. So He's saying, hey, old man in chains. And then he says, I have, in essence, got me a new son. I'm a father to this young man. And he's talking about from a spiritual sense, I've got a person who I've led to Christ. And then at the end of that sentence, he says, and it's Onesimus. Well, that's got to be a shocker to Philemon. And he's telling him, this young man, he's here. He's with me. He's in Rome. I'm sending him back to you. But he is a believer. And then he comes in verse 11 and he says, formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and me. The name Onesimus means useful. And he does a play on words and he says, now Onesimus, he was not very useful to you. He was not useful to you at all, but he is useful to me. He's got his namesake back. And he said, I am sending him to you. And he says, I'm sending to you even as I'm sending my heart. And he shows, I love this guy a lot and I'm willing to sacrifice his friendship with me right now, his closeness and his presence with me. I'm going to send him back to you and I'm sending him back to you, hoping that you will accept him. And then when you accept him, you will accept him not just as a slave, but you will accept him as a brother. And so he's sending him on his way with that letter. And then verses 15 and 16, he says this. He says, for this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, and how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Paul wants Philemon to look at Onesimus through a different lens, and he wants to see him as a brother, as someone who has received Christ as Savior and that they are now one. Not to see him as a possession, but as a brother in Christ. And that is a big ask that he is making of him. Because during that time, there wasn't a whole lot of forgiveness that was given to slaves who ran away. And he's saying, I'm asking you to do the big thing. I'm asking you to welcome him back and to accept him and for there to be reconciliation in your relationship. And so then Paul goes to the next step. And he's told him in verse 18, and if he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. Wow. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it. Now, what Paul is saying, he says, listen, I care so much about Onesimus that if he has stolen anything from you, if you have incurred any cost because he's not been there, if you've had to have guys work double time, overtime, bring in new people, whatever expense has been incurred because of his mistake, don't you worry about it. Charge it to my account. I will cover it. And he's offering to cover it, whatever it takes. And so he's sending him out. And he's sending him out. And at the very end of it, he says, if you will do this, the last thing he says, refresh my heart in Christ. Refresh my heart in Christ. You know, what happened is that Paul got the inspiration to be able to refresh the heart of Philemon because he knew he wasn't complete. He needed to work out this, the heart of Onesimus, because he needed to work this out with Philemon. And so he's willing to sacrificially allow him to go, but he gives him this letter to go to Philemon. And when he gets to Philemon, then Philemon, hopefully reading that letter, will accept him and accept him as a brother in Christ. And so Paul, this inspiration of isolation, says, this is what is going to be the best thing for Onesimus. It's the best thing that's going to be for Philemon. And guess what? It's going to refresh my heart also. Paul's not doing it just to refresh his heart. It's just a byproduct of what is getting ready to happen. So when I sit there and look at isolation, I think about inspiration. I think it's something inspiring that takes the focus off of me and looks for ways that I can encourage and refresh the hearts of others. And in this particular case, for the Apostle Paul, it was to bring reconciliation. Now, as we get ready to close down this message, let me just give you some points to take with you. And there are points regarding reconciliation that are right out of this particular letter. Number one is this: true reconciliation cannot be forced or manipulated. True reconciliation cannot be forced or manipulated. Paul did not play the authority card, and Onesimus, it was his choice to go. Now, I don't know who came up with the idea. I don't know if Onesimus came up with it, or I don't know if Paul came up with it. But one thing I do know, Onesimus agreed to it and bought into it. Otherwise, he'd just run away again. But he bought into it. And so he wasn't coerced, he wasn't manipulated, and true reconciliation can only happen if you're not forced or manipulated. Number two is this. The offending person initiates with a repentant heart and a contrite spirit. The offending person initiates with a repentant heart and contrite spirit. And this is where the problem usually comes, is that few people want to admit that they were wrong, and thus they keep that friction in that relationship. To be able to reconcile and to bring a relationship together, the offending person needs to recognize what they've done wrong, have a repentant heart, and a contrite spirit. Number three is this, and that is the offended person, motivated by love, extends forgiveness. The offended person, motivated by love, extends forgiveness. Now, you don't have to wait for the offending person to come to you to forgive them in your heart. And if there is some root of bitterness that you have in your heart, I would encourage you to go on and deal with that now and go on and begin to ask for forgiveness from God and take that to Him. And then when that person does come to you, if that person comes, then motivated by love for them and love for God, you extend that forgiveness to them. And if that happens, that's when the fourth point is, and that is both people put the past behind them and they move forward. Both people put the past behind them and they move forward. You take sincere love, compassion, and forgiveness. You put all that together. And since you've forgiven someone and they have received that forgiveness, now you can both move forward. And because both of you can move forward, that barrier of unforgiveness has been broken down. That ball and chain of bitterness has now been removed. And so for Onesimus, he has moved on. And guess what? He's not useless anymore. Now he's useful. And for Philemon, guess what he got? He's gained a brother. He's gained a brother in Christ. And so by this reconciliation coming together, you know, both of their hearts are refreshed and there's a wholeness about their walk with God and their walk with each other. For some of you, there are those whom you have offended and you know that you need to ask for forgiveness. I encourage you to take that step. And there are some of you who are being ruled and controlled by bitterness and also hatred due to unforgiveness. If the offending party comes to you, I encourage you through the power of God to forgive them. Now, if the offending party never comes to you, I still encourage you to release that anger and hurt by going to God and forgiving this person who has wronged you. Now, in the big picture, you know what? Each one of us is Onesimus. We have a sin debt that we cannot pay. And we are separated from God because of it. And just as Paul had nothing to do with Onesimus' guilt, neither does Christ with ours. But yet, just as Paul assumed the debt that he did not owe, so Jesus went to a Roman cross to pay our debt. And he says to his heavenly Father, hey, if this one has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I have already paid for it. Christ has paid our debt of sin for us. And thus, as believers and children of God, we are accepted at the throne of God, not on the basis of what we have done, but on the basis of what Christ has done and who he is. He stands in the gap for us. It's like he takes me by the hand with one hand and he reaches up to the Father with the other hand and he brings me into a relationship with him. You can make that decision now. You can pray and ask Jesus to come into your heart right now. Let me lead you in this prayer and just pray after me. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, but I know that you are the Savior, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins and come into my life. I turn from that sin, and I choose to follow you from this moment forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer or you have a desire to know more, I'd love for you to take your cell phone out right now and text the word gospel to 205-749-7244. It's the number that's right there on the screen. Now, I'm going to take a moment. I'm going to wait with you on this. And I want you at least to write that number, text that number down, get it right there into your phone. Now, if you do this and you text that word gospel, which is good news, it doesn't mean we're going to come rush over to your house and harass you. We can't. We got social isolation. But I will tell you this, and that is that what we will do is we will encourage you and we will contact you and give you some more information and try to walk with you on this particular decision. Now, if you're joining us live and you want to talk to someone about it could be a forgiveness situation or maybe just anything else, just go to the lower right corner of the screen and click on live prayer. And if you're watching us later, then email us at pray@shades.org. Now, we care for you and we want to walk with you through these times and we want to help you to thrive in isolation. Now, one final word is I want to encourage you to read the entire book of Philemon this week. Whoa, one chapter, 25 verses. Hey, listen to that. You could read it every day. And I guarantee you that the Lord will show you new insights every time that you read it. And I hope that you have a safe and a blessed week.